Welcome to Madrid en Inglés, Madrid in English, a tour, a colorful educational tour of our capital, Madrid, and of our province, La Comunidad de Madrid. Learn English with me, with Richard Vaughan, using Madrid as our base of operations. Yeah, let's go. Hello and good morning. How are you today? Welcome to Sunday's edition, every Sunday, of Madrid en Inglés, Madrid in English. My name is Richard Vaughan. I'm an English teacher, but I'm teaching English indirectly on Onda Madrid because I'm not teaching you irregular verbs. Podría, I could teach you irregular verbs, phrasal verbs, auxiliary verbs, irregular verbs, regular verbs, and modal verbs. He repetido uno de ellos. But in any case, but I'm not going to do it. Maybe from time to time. Maybe every once in a while. Maybe every now and then. Maybe occasionally. Maybe every so often. Cinco formas para enseñar, para decir en inglés de vez en cuando. De cuando en cuando. Yes, occasionally. Every once in a while, every now and then, every so often, and from time to time. I can teach something, but no. My objective is to indirectly teach English through conversations in English, sometimes in Spanglish, and using Madrid and the community or the province of Madrid as my base of operations, talking about it. But what I'm doing in these first programs, maybe the first 10 programs or more, is talking about my life in Madrid, around Madrid, influenced by Madrid, because I've been living in Madrid. Madrid was the first name in Madrid, and then finally Madrid. I've been living in Madrid since August 1972. That's more than 52 years ago. And the only times I have not, during those 52 years, the past 52 years, the only moments in which I have not lived in Madrid was the final year of the university. I returned to Austin, Texas, to finish my degree in the academic year 1973-74. And then I returned in August 1974. And I've been living in Madrid since then, except for another period of 10 months, also basically an academic year, in which I lived in the province of Guadalajara. First, for 4 months in Almonacid de Zorita. It's in La Alcarria, working in a nuclear plant. And then after a trip to the United States for the Christmas 1974-75, then I returned and lived in the residence facility for bachelors, for single people, in the nuclear plant, La Central Nuclear de Zorita. And there I lived. But I'm going to start talking about it. And then from that point on, when I came back to Madrid, when I returned to Madrid from Guadalajara in June or July 1975, I've been living in Madrid since then. So truly permanently, I will have been living, aquí uso el futuro perfecto, continuo, habré estado viviendo, o llevaré, para el verano próximo. By next August, I will have been living in Madrid permanently, totally permanently, for 50 years. So, I lived 2.5 years under Franco. I remember the life in Spain and in Madrid during the final years of the Franco regime. Yes, I remember people saying, what do you find at the end of the Pardo Highway? que encuentras al final de la carretera del pardo. Dices, está el tío vivo. Y claro, Franco was still alive. There were a lot of jokes about Franco in the final years because people were waiting for him to die. For me, it didn't matter. Spain was a very calm, very peaceful place then. There was a little bit of, you noticed a little bit of agitation underneath, por debajo de la superficie, because you had the clandestine socialist party, the clandestine communist party, the clandestine whatever. And also, Carrero Blanco, of course, was assassinated in December 1973. And that created a bit more anxiety, ansiedad, anxiety. And Carlos Arias Navarro took over as the prime minister. I say prime minister, primer ministro, because in Spain, you have a strange term, un término curioso, que es, which is el presidente del gobierno. This term, the president of the government, I think is only used in Spain. I think it's because you go to France, of course, you have the president of the French Republic, Mr. Macron. And then you have a prime minister. In Italy and in Germany, you also have a president. But then in Italy, you also have a prime minister, Mrs. Meloni. And in Germany, you have a prime minister, which is called a chancellor. And in Great Britain, of course, you have the royal house, the king, King Charles III. And then you have a prime minister. These are parliamentary systems. And Spain is a parliamentary system as well. However, you don't use the term prime minister for the current president of the government. You use the term president of the government, which is a bit strange for me. But in any case, estoy acostumbrado, ¿no? I'm used to it. But let's go back. We're talking about Madrid. Madrid in 1974. I was teaching English. I had been teaching English for 2 weeks in Madrid in the Berlitz School, located on the corner of Gran Vía. Bueno, Gran Vía. Avenida José Antonio. I don't know the name of that street. There's a little street, La Continuación de Onésimo Redondo, which of course now, is called Cuesta de San Vicente. But I'm not sure. You see, the Cuesta de San Vicente starts in the river. Oh, it starts down in the roundabout or the traffic circle, which is Avenida La Florida. And then it goes up to the Plaza España. It goes up to Bailén, to the bridge, which is Bailén Street, where Bailén and Ferraf join, I believe. I'm not sure where we have the beginning of the Calle de Ferraz. Because Belén and Ferraz are basically the same street, of course. But let me see if I can find it. I'm going to look for it on a map. All right. Palacio Real, Pío, Príncipe Pío, or what was called the Estación del Norte, if you remember. And then we go up La Cuesta San Vicente. And the Cuesta de San Vicente continues until we reach, Calle del Ferraz and Calle de Belén, the bridge, the tunnel. It's kind of a tunnel. There's a tunnel. And then you reach the street that's called Plaza España Street. So the Cuesta de San Vicente, the name changes into Plaza España. And then we continue until we reach, of course, Gran Vía and the Calle de la Princesa, o Calle Princesa. Calle Princesa starts on the corner of Gran Vía and Cuesta de San Vicente, right up at the top. Well, the Plaza de España Street. And there we have it. Legaritos, of course, joins it very, very close. But then on the other side, you have Calle de los Reyes. And that's where I was teaching. I was teaching on the corner of Avenida de José Antonio, which today, of course, is called the Gran Vía, and Calle Reyes, right on that corner, diagonally opposite the Plaza de España. And there I taught for only 2 weeks in a language school called Berlitz. And then I found a work job in the Central Nuclear de Sorita. But during those 2 weeks, of course, during the second week, probably, as I told you last week, if you didn't hear my program last week, then I will tell the story a bit again. I was giving class to a group as a substitute teacher, so only one class. I went into the classroom as substitute, and I had 5 students. One student was a very attractive girl, maybe 20 years old, 19 years old, by the name of Isabel. And she looked like a little bit like a gypsy, a little bit, no mucho, un poquito agitanada, but very attractive. I gave the class. It was the substitute, as a substitute teacher. And then I left. It was my last class of the evening, maybe 7 p.m. And I went down the elevator and walked out and began walking up Gran Vía, or Avenida José Antonio, towards Callao. And then suddenly, hello, hola. And Isabel was next to me, walking with me. So basically, Isabel picked me up. She picked me up. But that started a relationship that lasted until Christmas, really. Because I took Isabel with me to the United States at Christmas time in 1974-75, Christmas and New Year's. Christmas 1974, and then New Year's Day 1975. And I left her in Dallas with a group of students, friends of mine, and she stayed in Dallas for another 2 months, I believe. And I returned because, as I said, I had a commitment to La Central Nuclear Zorita, which at that time belonged to Unión Eléctrica, which later became Unión Fenosa, which later became Gas Natural Fenosa, which later has become, it cambió to the present perfect, has become Naturgy. Unión Eléctrica, Unión Fenosa, Gas Natural Fenosa, and finally Naturgy. So 4 different names over a period of 50 years. That's basically in line with the evolution of the Spanish economy over the past 50 years, a very interesting evolution. But then, at that time, I was living on Fuencarral Street, very, very close to the Glorieta de Bilbao, very close, 150 meters, just opposite one of the... I don't remember the name of that movie theater, just opposite the movie theater, which today I think is a shop, Esfera, Tienda de Ropa or something, I don't know, something like that. But it was a movie theater before where there was an accident. All right. I could find information, maybe accidente, mortal. It was a deadly accident. Athene, Calle Fuencarral. Let's see if I can find the name of the movie theater. Cine, Calle Fuencarral. And we can find out about it. I think about 4 people died in that. Se cumplen 26 años de la tragedia del cine Bilbao. That's it. Yes. All right. How many people died? I don't remember. Let's see. On the 27th of January, 1993, La Marquesina de los Cines... No sé decir Marquesina. I don't know how to say Marquesina in English. Let's see if I can find... How do you say Marquesina in English? Some of these words. Let's go into word reference. Marquesina. Marquesina. All right. And we'll find out. Shelter. No, shelter es un cobijo. Bueno, cobijo para autobuses. All right. Roof. Door canopy. All right. Marquee. All right. A marquee, which is a French word we use in Spanish. All right. Let's see. Seis fallecidos. All right. But that was many years later, almost 20 years later. But I was living in a large flat. Flat is piso. I was living in a large flat on Calle Fuencarral, opposite the Cine Bilbao, but almost opposite. And I had a room. But normally I only lived in that room on the weekends, because during the week I was living in Almonacid de Zorita in the province of Guadalajara. But I came in to Madrid for the weekends, every weekend. So it was very nice. So in reality, every Sunday night, Sunday evening, I left Madrid. The traffic was coming in the opposite direction. People were coming back into Madrid after spending a weekend in the villages or in their country houses. So I was going in the opposite direction. And then the following Friday, just the opposite. I was coming into Madrid, very little traffic. However, there was heavy traffic, always leaving Madrid on the weekends, on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, escaping from the big city to go to the provinces of Guadalajara or Segovia or Avila or Toledo or Cuenca or Albacete, or maybe to the coast, to Valencia, wherever. People escaping. Still to this day, 50 years later, people still on Friday afternoon, there's a lot of traffic. If the weather is nice, especially, there's a lot of traffic leaving Madrid. People going to the, some people have a country house, or they have a little house, and they have a house in their villages. You know, they may be in the province of Toledo, or a village in Segovia, maybe in Sepúlveda, or in Pedraza, or in Sotosalvos, or in Collado Hermoso. No Collado Mediano, Collado Hermoso. Or in Turégano, or who knows, maybe in Sotillo Adorada, or in wherever. There are a lot of places, Piedralaves. There are a lot of villages within an hour and a half of Madrid that many people have houses, or their family for many generations had houses in these villages. Well, I was doing the opposite. I was coming into Madrid to my bedroom in Calle Fuencarral, and noticed I was observing the traffic, the heavy traffic. Se dice en inglés tráfico pesado para mucho atasco. Heavy traffic, traffic congestion. The heavy traffic leaving Madrid on the Carretera de Barcelona, que no era autovía todavía. This is before el desdoblamiento. This was before the autovías that began seriously during the first two governments of Felipe González in the early and mid 1980s. And so I was living, but I had a girlfriend, Isabel, the gypsy girl. Well, not, she wasn't a gypsy girl. And as I said in the last week, her family was military. Her father was, a captain in the Spanish military, in the Spanish army, Ejército de Tierra. By the way, yo soy infante de honor del Ejército de Tierra. I'm an honorary soldier of the Spanish military. But that came many years later. Maybe I'll mention it sometime next year in one of these programs. And so I came in on the weekends and spent the weekend usually with Isabel. Sometimes I stayed at her house on Calle Maudes, next to the Palacio, del antiguo hospital de Minusválidos. Beautiful place, but on Calle Maudes and on Reina Victoria. But I'm out of time. I'm going to take a short break and continue the story in just a few minutes, so don't go away. Stay with me.
Si has sufrido violencia sexual, llama al 900-599-316. En el Centro de Crisis 24 Horas de la Comunidad de Madrid te ofrecemos atención psicológica, asistencia jurídica y apoyo social. Siempre disponibles para ayudarte. 900-599-316. No importa la hora ni el día, estamos siempre para ti. Campaña financiada por la Unión Europea Next Generation Plan de Recuperación Gobierno de España. Comunidad de Madrid.
Los porros pueden parecer inofensivos, pero golpean tu vida hasta destrozarla. Tu salud, tu familia, tus amigos, todo. Los daños son para siempre. No dejes que los porros destrocen tu vida. Plan Regional contra las Drogas de la Comunidad de Madrid.
Cada día las enfermeras y enfermeros de la Comunidad de Madrid resuelven cerca de 44.000 consultas de los ciudadanos de forma rápida y eficaz. ¿Cuál es la tuya? No te quedes con la duda. Pregunta a tu enfermera. Colegio Oficial de Enfermería de Madrid.
¿Necesitas reír? Pues no te pierdas La Madre que me parió en el Teatro Lara. Séptima temporada de la comedia de éxito que ya han visto más de 400.000 personas. La Madre que me parió en el Teatro Lara. Una loca comedia sobre las relaciones madre-hija. Líos y secretos en La Madre que me parió. Más info en teatrolara.com.
Onda Madrid, 101.3 y 106 FM.
Hello and welcome back. Welcome back to our another segment. Yes, I'll talk to you for the next 15 minutes before another short break and continue. Okay, it's 1974. The fall of 1974. Fall or autumn. The British say autumn. The Americans say fall. Para el otoño. La caída de la hoja. We say the fall. The Americans and Canadians say fall. The British and the Irish say autumn. And in America we say autumn if we want to be poetic. The autumn leaves are falling. Yeah, we be poetic. Poética, con licencia poética, solemos decir los americanos autumn, and not fall. The word fall is not very poetic. The autumn. I'm in the autumn of my life. Estoy en el otoño de mi vida. I'm in the autumn. When I was, and now the days are short, I'm in the autumn of the year. That's Frank Sinatra. Yes, when I was 17. A beautiful song, by the way. If you're not familiar with it, I would recommend you go into YouTube and put When I Was 17. I think that's the name of the song, When I Was 17. And let me check to make sure. Let's see, lyrics, When I Was 17. Yes, Frank Sinatra. The name of the song is It Was a Very Good Year. Fue un buen año. Un muy buen año. It was a very good year. And it begins. Cuando yo tenía 17 años. Fue un año muy bueno. When I was 17, it was a very good year. And he continues. And the next stanza. Stanza significa estrofa. Es una palabra italiana. Stanza. And that's, we use the Italian word, stanza, in English for estrofa. The second stanza, when I was 21, it was a very good year. The third stanza, when I was 35, it was a very good year. And he continues to explain. And the final stanza, And now the days are short. I'm in the autumn of the year. It's an extremely nostalgic song. The lyrics are very interesting. And the music is beautiful. I can play it on the guitar. I play it on the guitar. And it's not easy to play, by the way, on the guitar. But it's very interesting. Well, it's not too difficult. And it's one of my favorite songs by Sinatra. In fact, maybe, I'm not a Frank Sinatra fan, but as I get older, conforme me hago más mayor, me gusta cada vez más Frank Sinatra. I mean, my parents were fans of Frank Sinatra. But me, no, of course, I grew up with Elvis Presley and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Jimi Hendrix and others. Yeah, Led Zeppelin, but not Frank Sinatra. However, even when I was a teenager, I was able to recognize the professionalism and the quality of Frank Sinatra and his interpretations, because Frank Sinatra didn't write his music. In fact, during those years, the singers never wrote their own songs. You had songwriters and interpreters, but not the same. Very few. But then starting with, basically starting in the early 60s, and especially with the Beatles in the United States, in Great Britain, and the Beach Boys in the United States, the idea of writing their own music. And now that's common. I mean, Taylor Swift, I'm not sure if she writes her own songs. I don't think so. I'm not sure. Let me ask this question. Does Taylor Swift write her songs? I don't think so. I think some of them, yes, but I'm not sure. The American singer-songwriter Taylor Swift has written or co-written, co-escribir junto con otros, every song, okay, in her 11-album discografía, with the exception of several cover versions. That's okay. So, I'm wrong. She has written or co-written most of her songs. But in any case, I'm in the autumn of my year, so I'm more nostalgic now. And when you become older, when you get older, you often become more nostalgic. And then songs like some of the songs interpreted by Frank Sinatra or by others, Cole Porter and things, you begin to gain a liking for these songs. And so, in any case, let's get back to the story. I have a girlfriend by the name of Isabel. Fine. I'm living in a bedroom. I'm renting a bedroom. Alquilando un dormitorio. I'm renting a bedroom in a village in the province of Guadalajara called Almonacid de Zorita. And I'm living with family. And the family is a mother and a father, a son by the name of Pedro or Pedrito, and a daughter, whose name I can't remember, and the widowed grandmother, la abuela viuda, Doña Mercedes. Y Doña Mercedes mandaba. She was in charge. Doña Mercedes was in charge. And it was interesting because Doña Mercedes always wore black. Very typical in the villages in Spain. Siempre vestida de negro. She always wore. El pasado simple del verbo to wear. Wear is llevar puesto. Prendas de vestir. To wear. Today I'm wearing a blue shirt and white trousers. I'm wearing. The past tense is wore. And the participle, of course, is worn con un n. Wore. El pasado simple que rima exactamente, suena igual que la palabra guerra, war. The Second World War. I wore, a yellow shirt yesterday wore. And of course, Doña Mercedes wore black, because she was a widow. And her right arm, no, excuse me, her left arm was paralyzed. Brazo paralizado. She couldn't move it. However, despite that handicap, Doña Mercedes was the, let's say, the boss, especially in the kitchen, cooking. And I, in Almonacido Zurita, where I lived for 4 months, September, October, November, and December. But coming into Madrid every weekend, but during the week, I had dinner, not lunch, usually lunch, dinner. I had dinner cooked by Doña Mercedes and her daughter. Okay, because the husband was the son-in-law of Doña Mercedes. And I had a room. In my room, there was a large bookcase. Now, bookcase is the most common word for una estantería para libros, una biblioteca en una habitación. That's the bookcase. A shelf is un estante o estantería. Shelves son las estanterías, varios estantes. But bookcase is the most common word in English for toda la biblioteca en el interior de una casa. A veces, de diseño artístico. It's the bookcase. Where you keep your books. In my bedroom, in Almonacido Zurito, there was a bookcase. A big bookcase. But there were only two books. So it was a very, muy desangelado. I mean, it was a very sad bookcase. Because there were probably five shelves. And each shelf was maybe a meter and a half long. And there were only two books. One was El Español y los Siete Pecados Capitales. I remember. By Fernando Díaz Plaja. All right. That was one. I didn't read it. I've never read that book. I read one of the chapters about La Envidia Española, about envy. But I didn't read the book. But the other book was The Brothers Karamazov by Fyodor Dostoevsky. Los Hermanos Karamazov. And I read that book while I was living in Almonacid de Zorita. I read the story of Alyosha, Ivan, and Dimitri, and the story. Brilliant book. It was probably one of the most influential books I have read in my life. I mean, Fyodor Dostoevsky was a bit depressive. I mean, he was an interesting person. The opposite of me, because I'm a natural optimist. I think Dostoevsky was a natural. I don't agree. Yeah, people say he was fatalist, pessimist. He was a pessimist. He was a depressive person. I don't really agree. I think it's impossible to be depressive and fatalistic and at the same time write such brilliant novels. Because I know from my own experience, to sit down and design a novel, a story, and then to write it takes an incredible effort and focus that depressive or pessimistic people or fatalistic people, I don't believe they can do that. So even the most depressive writers like Dostoevsky or Edgar Allan Poe, or others similar, I believe these people were by nature optimistic. They looked forward to the future. Espera con ilusión. El futuro inmediato o medio o largo is typical of optimists. And to sit to envision, conceive, and write a novel requires looking forward to the future. looking forward, es esperando con ilusión, sentarse a plasmar una historia sobre el papel. And so Dostoevsky, I think it's impossible. He suffered epilepsy. He was an epileptic. He suffered strong epileptic seizures or fits. Seizures, syncopes de epilepsia. And but he wrote some brilliant books. And in Marmonacito Zorita, I read the entire story of the brothers Karamazov. Brilliant book. Of course, I was only 22 years old. I turned 23 in the fall of 1974. Between Madrid y Almonacid de Zorita y la Central Nuclear de Zorita, which is about 4 kilometers, I think, from Almonacid. All right. And so there I turned 23 on November 9th. My birthday, mi cumple, my birthday is La Almudena, el 9 de noviembre, who's one of the 2 patron saints of Madrid. So every year, Madrid celebrates my birthday with a holiday. Okay. Of course, Madrid has 2 patron saints, San Isidro, the 15th of May, y La Almudena. I think the Almudena is a more recent addition to the patronage of Madrid. But in any case, so I was living there and working in the nuclear plant, coming into Madrid on the weekends to spend some time with Isabel. And in my room on Fuencarral Street, together with 5 other students, by the way, together with 5 other American students, but I had very little contact with them. I was spending most of my time with Isabel and learning all the bad words in Spanish. I'll come back after a short break and talk about a little bit about Isabel and about Calle Maudes and about Fuencarral and about the Gloria to Bilbao and about palabrotas in Spanish after this short break.
La atención primaria es más cercana, con los profesionales más adecuados para cada necesidad. Te atienden en el centro de salud, por teléfono o se desplazan a residencias de mayores o a domicilios en caso de tener problemas de movilidad o requerir cuidados al final de la vida. Porque tu atención primaria es lo primero. Comunidad de Madrid.
Utiliza la lógica. Reutiliza todo lo demás. Únete al movimiento de la economía circular y reutiliza bolsas de plástico, tarros de vidrio y ropa usada, entre otros. Repara, reutiliza, recupera, recicla. Comunidad de Madrid.
Los porros pueden parecer inofensivos, pero golpean tu vida hasta destrozarla. Tu salud, tu familia, tus amigos, todo. Los daños son para siempre. No dejes que los porros destrocen tu vida. Plan Regional contra las Drogas de la Comunidad de Madrid.
Restaurante J, cocina vasca, un referente de buena mesa en Chamberí, con la sencillez y honestidad de la cocina de siempre, donde comer bien, sin tontunas, con familia, amigos, tu cuadrilla, verduras, guisos de temporada y pescados salvajes al centro de la mesa. Restaurante J, una cocina para siempre, a 50 metros de la Glorieta de Bilbao. Reserva y disfruta.
¿Tienes previsto un traslado? Elige Estebaranz, porque no todas las mudanzas son iguales. Rapidez, garantía y seriedad, nuestros mejores argumentos. Mudanzas y guardamuebles Estebaranz, a tu lado, transportando tus ilusiones.
101.3 y 106 FM, Onda Madrid.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, here we are, and I'm in 1974, in the fall, or the autumn of 1974, and I'm living in two places simultaneously. Not exactly simultaneously, because I was not capable of performing bilocation. La bilocación, estar en 2 sitios al mismo tiempo. I only know one person who apparently was able to do that, to be in 2 places at the same time, and that was, creo que Santa Teresa de Ágreda. And then Ágreda, of course, is a town in the province of Soria. I think it was Santa Maria Teresa or Santa Teresa. Let me try to get Santa Let's see. Well, Teresa de... Let's see, Calcutta, no. Teresa de Ágreda. But it wasn't Teresa. María de Jesús de Ágreda. Nada de Teresa. Okay. María de Jesús de Ágreda. Now, this nun, N-U-N, pronunciado nun, significa monja. She was the abbot, la abadesa, of the convent of the Madres Concepcionistas de Ágreda, provincia de Soria. All right. También conocida como la Venerable Sor María o María Ágreda. All right. She was also the confessora of Philip IV. And she maintained una relación epistolar, epistolary relationship with el rey Felipe IV, el penúltimo de la casa de Austria, el penúltimo Habsburgo, for over 20 years. But she was also known for performing by location, su misión sobrenatural en Nuevo México, con los indios. Se dice que tenía el don de la bilocación, María de Jesús de Ágreda, siendo señalada por franciscanos e indígenas contemporáneos como predicadora en Nuevo México, pese a que nunca abandonó su claustro en Ágreda, en la provincia de Soria. All right. La llamaban la Dama Azul, creo. I think that was the name they gave her, but I don't remember. But it's a very interesting story. If you're not familiar with this woman, I recommend you check it out. Check it out. Because it's an interesting story. And I have heard of stories of bilocation. El don de la bilocación. All right. Estar en dos lugares a la vez. But to be in two places at the same time. Now, whether I believe it or not is irrelevant. Okay. For these types of things, I'm relatively indifferent about conspiracy theories or other stories similar to this. But I find them interesting. And I don't rule them out. Yes. Soy un creyente. Entonces yo no descarto cosas que trascienden a lo material. I do not rule out things that transcend the material. And so the idea of María de Jesús de Ágreda, the abadesa, I don't rule out that she could be la Dama Azul de los Llanos, así la llamaban. The Franciscan missionaries called her la Dama Azul de los Llanos. It's interesting. I don't know if in Wikipedia English edition, they also have this mystic bilocation. Between 1620 and 1623, Mary of Jesus reported that she was often transported by the aid of angels to settlements of a people called Jumanos, los Jumanos con J, the Jumano Indians of New Spain, Nueva España, which today is Texas and New Mexico, had long been requesting missionaries, etc., etc. It's an interesting story. Okay. But it's not about... this story takes me away from Madrid. Because right now, during the fall of 1974, I'm living in Almonacinto Zorita in a rented room in the home of Doña Mercedes and her family, reading the Brothers Karamazov by Dostoevsky, teaching English in the nuclear plant 4 kilometers away. And, by the way, people from the nuclear plant picked me up every morning to take me to the classes. And then coming into Madrid every weekend to spend time, to enjoy Madrid, and to spend some time with my girlfriend at that time, who was Isabel. Now, At the end of, before the end of the break, I told you that with Isabel, it was a 4-month, very intense relationship. I learned a lot of Spanish with Isabel, but not proper Spanish. Isabel had a very dirty mouth. Se dice en inglés boca sucia. O sea, decía palabrotas a diestro y siniestro. I mean, she was a good person. Isabel was a good girl. But she was very left-wing. She was very, muy, muy progresista. Her family, of course, her family, because her father was a military, they were not. They were franquistas, of course. But she was the opposite. She was the opposite. This was in 1974. Her favorite singer was, I think, I can't remember the name. Pachi Andion was one of her favorite singers. I can't remember. The protesta, the typical protest songs, you know, Raimon and Pachi Andion, and I can't remember one of them. But her language, I learned all of the bad words in Spanish, thanks to Isabel. And my God, I have never heard a woman speaks with such a foul mouth as Isabel. I decided during the fall of 1974, while I was working in the nuclear plant, to spend the Christmas with my family in Texas. All right. My parents at that time were living in Corpus Christi, Texas, along the Gulf Coast. You see, Texas has a long coastline in the Gulf of Mexico. You see, the Texas that Spanish people think of is West Texas. Texas de las plantas rodadoras y tarántulas y escorpiones. No, that's West Texas. East Texas, where you have Houston and Corpus Christi, by the way, is very humid. It's very humid. Hasta hay humedales y zonas pantanosas. Caimanes, right? Culebras and things. Yes, snakes and alligators and mosquitoes. That's East Texas. And that includes Houston, by the way. And my parents were living in Corpus Christi at that time. And so I decided to go back to visit them. And I asked Isabel, well, come with me. You want to come? We'll fly to New York City. And we did. So when Christmas around the 20th of January, well, not really, around the 15th of December, I said goodbye to my friends at the nuclear plant, my students, and to my friends in Calle Fuencarral in Madrid, where I was living on the weekends. Isabel and I flew to New York. We spent a couple of, 2 or 3 days in New York City. Then we took a train to Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is beautiful. New York is, of course, very interesting, but I wouldn't call New York beautiful. Washington is impressive. It usually surprises people. Wow. Of course, it's neoclassical. It's like going to Athens, Atenas con la Acrópolis, or Roma, en su momento de esplendor, because it's neoclásico. The architecture in everything. And so it's a quite impressive experience to go to Washington, D.C. I recommend it. And then from Washington, we caught a Greyhound bus, the famous bus line. And from Washington, we went all the way to San Antonio, Texas. Wow. We spent 3 days in a bus, traveling maybe 3,000 kilometers or on a bus. It was a very interesting experience, by the way. But I'm not going to tell you the stories. By the way, there's an autobiography that I have published. It's coming out next week, I believe, or the week after, in cuestión de días o semanas. Mi autobiografía va a salir a la venta en el Corte Inglés, en todos los sitios, y en Amazon, etc. De Texas a España. Vi las video reflexiones de un profesor y emprendedor. All right. Now, in that book, I talk at length. At length significa con detenimiento. A longitud, literalmente. At length. I talk at length about that trip by bus. Well, by the whole trip. New York, Washington, the Greyhound bus from Washington, D.C. to San Antonio, Texas, passing through Atlanta, New Orleans, Louisiana, etc. And then I took Isabel from San Antonio to Corpus Christi to spend a few days with my parents. I imagine my parents found Isabel to be very exotic. Una bella jovencita, algo agitanada. She's very, very attractive. But I imagine my parents found her to be quite exotic. And we went out to Padre Island and spent time out on the beaches. Some very, very nice beaches. What's interesting about Padre Island, Isla Padre, literalmente, is a very long island. Es una isla que tiene 150 kilómetros de largo y 2 kilómetros de ancho solo. It's strange. All right. But you drive your car out onto the beach. And so that was new for Isabel. She said, wow, you take the car onto the beach. Yeah, you can take the car to the edge of the Gulf of Mexico on the water and park your car right at the edge of the water if you want. And so, but then I took Isabel up to Dallas, Texas. And I left her there with a group of students from Southern Methodist University, the university I had attended 2 years before. And I had friends who were living and studying in Dallas at Southern Methodist University. And there she stayed for 1 or 2 months. I don't remember how long. Because I really wanted to break up. To break up is romper la relación. Sentimental. I wanted to break up, and I thought that was the best way, to leave her there, and she would have new experiences, new things, and it worked. And I returned to Spain, and I returned to Guadalajara, to the nuclear plant, starting in January 1975, maybe January 15th, or January 10th, 1975. I returned, but I didn't return to Almonacid de Zorita, to the house of Doña Mercedes, no. I returned directly to the plant, and I rented a room in La Residencia La Central, Residencia para Solteros. And I rented a room in the plant. And there I spent the next 6 months from January to June teaching English to the managers and to the engineers and the technical personnel in the nuclear plant. But I still had my room in Calle Fuencarral Street in Madrid. And so every weekend I continued returning to Madrid. But Isabel was in Dallas. She came back and we got together again a little bit during that first semester, the first half year of 1975. But the relationship was not the same. And things were changing for me and things were changing for her. So that story I'm not going to come back to most likely. But I'm running out of time for today. I'm out of time. I'm going to have to say goodbye. But it's been a pleasure. And I wish you the best. Take care.